ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनन्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। We'll chant verses 6 to 10, chapter 10. Maharshaya Satta Purve, Chatvaro Manavastata, Chatvaro Manavastata, Madhava Manasa Jata, Madhava Manasa Jata, Esham Loka Ima Prajaha, महर्षयस्तत्पूर्वे चत्वारो मनवस्तथा मद्भावा मानसा जाताः येषां लोक इमां प्रजाः एतां विभूतिं योगं च एतां विभूतिं योगं च मम यो वेति तत्त्वतः मम यो वेति तत्त्वतः सोविकम्पेन योगेन सोविकम्पेन योगेन युज्यते नात्र संशयः युज्यते नात्र संशयः एतां विभूतिं योगं च मम यो वेति तत्त्वतः सोविकम्पेन योगेन युज्यते नात्र संशयः अहं सर्वस्य प्रभवः अहं सर्वस्य प्रभवः मत्तः सर्वं प्रवर्तते मत्तः सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा भजन्ते माम् इति मत्वा भजन्ते माम् बुधा भाव समन्विताः बुधा भाव समन्विताः अहं सर्वस्य प्रभवः मत्तः सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा भजन्ते माम् बुधा भाव समन्विताः मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राणाः मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राणाः बोधयन्तः परस्परं बोधयन्तः परस्परं कथयन्तश्च मां नित्यं कथयन्तश्च मां नित्यं तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च मच्चित्ता मद्गत प्राणाः बोधयन्तः परस्परं कथयन्तश्च मां नित्यं तुष्यन्ति च रमन्ति च तेषां सततयुक्तानां तेषां सततयुक्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकम् ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं येन मामुपयान्ति ते येन मामुपयान्ति ते तेषां सततयुक्तानां भजतां प्रीतिपूर्वकं ददामि बुद्धियोगं तं येन मामुपयान्ति ते। The scriptures, Shastras give three theories of how this world is evolved. First theory mentions that this world is a creation by God. There is a lot of Lakshmana in that theory. So as we evolve and start pointing out towards those Lakshmana, then it says this world is evolved out of God, Brahman. Even then, there is a lot of Lakshmana. You say that Brahman has become this world. Becoming involves time, space, etc. So there is lakuna here also. There is a time that has taken place. First of all, when you say world has evolved from Brahman, Brahman is infinite. There is no concept of time in it. When you say world, time is inherent concept, inherent in the world. Time, space, causation is the world. Take away time, space, causation, there is no world. So when you say from Brahman, time came, then in between time, who is going to account for? There is lacuna in that also.
In between time.
World means time, space, causation. Take away time, space, causation, there is no world. Right? So from Brahman, the world came. From this, from cotton, this cloth came. Between cotton and cloth, there is time involved. No? But time itself comes only when the world comes into picture. There is no time before world. So when you say world evolved out of Brahman, you are putting time before time. There is lacuna there also. So therefore, finally, the theory given is the world not evolved out of Brahman. The world is nothing but Brahman. It is appearing as world. Like how both charcoal and diamond is essentially carbon. In appearance they are different. So that's the final. So ultimately what Vedanta says is this world is nothing but Brahman only. Where there is Brahman, you are seeing world. In appearance it is there. When you realize the self Brahman, you will realize that this world is an illusion. So due to the yoga shakti of Brahman, the Maya, the world has come about. Which we already discussed in the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter, verse 6, what did he say? He said, by identifying with my yoga shakti, I bring about this universe. See, to understand this, we must little bit understand the theory of perception that Vedanta performs. There is a beautiful lecture by Swami Ramakrishna called Theory of Perception. If you do not understand, don't worry, we will explain it again and again over a period of time. But try to concentrate when we talk about this. There is a theory of perception called idealism. And there is another theory of perception called realism. Swami Ramakrishna talks on Vedantic theory of perception, wherein he reconciles both the idealism and realism. He says to what extent they are correct and he points out their lacuna. And then they reconcile them and establishes Vedantic theory of perception. This world, as far as you are concerned, is ascertained by you only through sense perception. If you do not have the eyesight, one fifth of the world is gone. You also do not have ears, two fifths is gone. Like that, you know this world only through perception. Right? So how this world has come about? The theory propounded by what is called as idealism says, when you perceive something, first of all, perception means two things are involved. The perceived object and the perceiver subject. So perception is nothing but a coming together of
subject-object
relationship. Idealism says, the perception is due to subject activity alone. If your mind was not there, you will not be seeing the object. I am sitting in front of you, but if your mind was elsewhere, you won't see me. As far as you are concerned, I don't exist. So the mind subject projects the object. There is no object there outside the mind. And then it says, somebody who is hypnotized, he doesn't see the land there, he sees swimming pool. He sees something else. So like this, it gives various examples to say that the subject, the mind, alone projects the perception. Other than the mind, there is no object existing. Mind alone is real. There is no object existing outside the mind. Vedantate, first of all, when you say subject and you take mind as a subject, that itself is wrong. If you go deeply, mind also can become an object. Because you can see the mind. See the mind means perceive the mind, there is emotion. My mind is agitated, my mind is calm. In that case, mind becomes the object. The subject then would be the Atma. Real subject. But to understand the theory of perception, we give in to say that subject is mind, object is the world outside, that which is perceived. Is that clear till now? What realism says is, no, there is an object existing outside other than the mind. That my object is real, this world is real. If it was not there, how come I am seeing it, you are seeing it, everybody is seeing the same thing? You are projecting a mule where there is a horse. But I am seeing horse now. Not only me, everybody else is seeing horse. So horse is real. And if your mind is capable of producing anything, why don't you produce a mule where there is a horse and so on? You cannot do this because horse is real. This is what realism says. Vedantic theory of perception, which Swami Ramakrishna talks about immediately there. To some extent, idealism is correct. To some extent, realism is correct. But there is a fallacy in both. And if we consider, what he says is, idealists are correct to the extent when they say the perception could have not happened without the participation of the subject, the mind. But they go wrong when they say there is nothing else outside the mind as the object. And realists are correct to the extent they say that there is something outside the mind. Otherwise the mind could have not projected. But where they go wrong when they say that which is outside the mind is object. That is where they are going wrong. And they say the object is real. And he explains this. He says, what is there is only pure consciousness. He gives the example of ocean. In ocean, what is there is only water. Vast sheet of water. In a bucket of water, there is no waves. In a swimming pool, there is no waves. But when there is a vast sheet of water, there are waves. And waves are also nothing but ocean. Okay, water. The water from outside. Just to understand, the water, the wave that is closest to you, let us take it as subject. And the wave that is farthest to you, let us take it as object. Okay. But essentially, what are they?
Water.
Water only. So water from outside collides with water here, the inside. In this collision, in this reaction and action, froth foam rises. Like that, the pure consciousness from outside collides with the pure consciousness from within. In this reaction and action, in this action-reaction, the subject mind arises. Really? And the qualities are projected by the mind and the outside pure consciousness, and there the object is created. These are tricky portions. I repeat.
And that's when you see it as different from Brahman.
So what he says is, you today think the quality of the object is in the object. The quality of the object is not in the object, says Ramchandra. If it was in the object, then you are color blind. You don't see the greenness there, green color there. So what he is trying to say is, in the action reaction that is happening in the pure consciousness, the mind arises and it projects the object outside. Where there is pure consciousness only. Idealists are wrong when they say there is nothing outside. He says there is pure consciousness. Realists are wrong when they say the object is real outside. He says the object is not real outside. It is the mind's projection. That much idealists are correct. But mind can only project on something where there is adhisthanam. If there is nothing, what on what will you project? You have to project a movie, there has to be a screen. So the mind is projecting the object where there is pure consciousness. And according to each one's mind, they are seeing the object. It's not the same object. If I let loose an elephant into this house, it will say, it's a very small house. If ants come into a room of that house, that room will be looking like huge. Are you with me?
So in terms of realism, okay, so there is this, so what
object anything? That object itself is real, the realist thing.
This is real, they are all seeing this, but the quality of this...
So it is existing independent of the subject activity. So I will then answer, say no. It doesn't exist independent of subject activity. When you are in deep sleep, it doesn't exist. When your mind has gone somewhere, it doesn't exist. When you are hypnotized, it doesn't exist. Are you with me? So independent of the mind's activity, it doesn't exist. That much Vedanta agrees. But to say that nothing outside the mind, idealists go wrong, is it? Mind can only project on something. And that on something, what is that? That is consciousness. Says Vedanta. But on consciousness, mind is projected. And the very mind is coming due to the consciousness striking the subject.
It's like I think, therefore I am. The French philosopher. So I think, therefore I am. And if I don't think, then that's another theory of existentialism.
So in other words, your thoughts and objects come together.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You, as long as your thought is not there, the object is not there for you. Are you with me? So whenever I am seeing this cup, I am touching this cup, I am holding this cup, my mind is there. Therefore I am experiencing it. So now the problem is, one set of people think this object is there.
No, mind is not.
And mind is seeing it through the senses. Other set of philosophers say there is no object, the mind is just projecting it. Vedanta says there is no object, correct, but there is something as adhisthana, basis, on which you are projecting. That much idealists are wrong. You understand? So it adds to that idealism. It is much more refined idealism, Vedanta. And says underneath what is there is Brahman. On Brahman, this world is projected. By the ego that arises. What is there is only consciousness. Due to ignorance, the ego Madhushrika, Mamta comes. The moment Mamta comes, Mamta projects the world. And Mamta experiences the world according to Brahman. The moment Mamta gains the knowledge, Sonu gains the knowledge. Foam understands its identity as water. then phone can never see big wave, small wave, kuch nahi hai. You understand? With this theory of perception, if you read these verses, you will clearly see that there is nothing other than pure consciousness. So in verses 4 and 5, the inner characteristics were talked about as the expression of pure consciousness only, Brahman only. See, the words Brahman, Atma, pure consciousness, Chaitanya, all these are synonyms, right? So the pure consciousness is where the inner characteristics arise from, and the external world also arises from the pure consciousness only, which is going to say in 6. There is Mamta. The potential of not understanding Mamta exists in Mamta. When Mamta is not understood, I can misunderstand her as somebody else, some ex. Similarly, the yoga, the potential of not understanding Brahman, the ignorance, Maya, is in Brahman. And due to that, this universe, Vibhuti, has come. So that is why this chapter is called as Vibhuti Yoga. The manifested world, Vyakta Prapancha, has come from Avyakta Prapancha, and the Avyakta Prapancha is a potential in Brahman. So when snake comes out of rope, is the rope existing as rope or not?
Yes.
Has the rope reduced? Anything has happened?
No.
So the not understanding of the rope brings about the misunderstanding of snake. Ram Gita says, what are the qualities of the snake? Ask somebody who is seeing the snake. The qualities of the snake that you are seeing, if I ask you what are they, you will say 5 feet long, 3 inches thick, black in color, coiled. What are the qualities of the rope? 5 feet long, 3 inches thick, black in color, coiled. So the qualities of rope has mirrored itself as qualities of snake. Similarly, you are seeing the world. Okay, what is this world made up of? Time, space, causation. What is time? Eternal. When did time begin? Can you say? It's eternal. What is space? Endless. What is causation? Endless. Space is all-pervading. So this eternal, all-pervading, endless is the qualities of the world. What is the quality of Brahman? Eternal. Brahman is existence which has been there forever without a beginning. So it is eternal. Does space end anywhere? All-pervading. Endless. So the qualities of Brahman has mirrored itself as the world. Is what? The theory of Maya, illusion. So the entire universe, the subtle and the gross, both are the manifestation of Brahman. Are you with me? The entire universe, subtle and the gross, both are the manifestation of
Brahman.
So in 4 and 5 he mentions various qualities, characteristics, and says this has evolved out of Brahman. Now in 6 he is going to talk about sages two sets of sages and manus, who are our
forefathers.
Which means the entire creation, the gross creation, vibhuti, has come from Brahman. And then you want to say, one who understands the connection between vibhuti and yoga, he goes beyond, he becomes Brahman itself. Let's see, you have some questions?
Yes. So, when pure consciousness is seen pure consciousness, that is the only thing which is pure consciousness seeing pure consciousness is...
Pure consciousness is not seeing pure consciousness. Pure consciousness doesn't see anything.
Because it is. And but the what is seeing or the mind or
is Shweta,
when it is seeing the qualities of some of anything, that is
your mind projecting.
Is the projection.
But
that
projection is happening on the pure consciousness. There is nothing, what can you project on? So instead of seeing pure consciousness, you are seeing
the projection.
Projected world. Something you are projecting. That's your mind. So therefore, Vedanta says, you go within this. Dissolve that mind. There's no way.
But then even
your samsara is due to your mind.
So even this is projection. Shweta is also projection. Because only projection will see projection.
In Shweta there are different layers. Go keep going deep.
Yeah. So that then it will be
only mind.
There's only Atma.
Yeah, there's only Atma.
And that Atma is connected and it will not, as you are saying, will not see or it is.
See, you see, we're talking about affirmations, right? So affirmations, it's somewhat connected, you know, because it's connected to this.
Affirmation? See. What is very important whenever you talk about affirmation is you must understand the power of feeling.
Feeling.
When we say you're what you think, we don't mean you're what you think at the surface level. You're what you think at the depth level. How you feel. You feel that you are worthy? Or do you feel that you are unworthy? And that's how you will be outside. Based on this only they say, in raising children or dealing with anybody, even in organization, they give importance to appreciation. Generally what happens, one of the mistakes we do is, when somebody does good, or even when I do good, suppose I do something good, and you come and appreciate me. Oh, you did very well today. I've done nothing. So these people who talk about affirmation, they say, no, don't talk like that. Yes, when we understand, from humility point of view, when you say that. But also you need to understand, you must feel that goodness. Because goodness will breed further goodness when you feel it. Okay? So when somebody does something good, you appreciate that person and make him feel that worthy nature of it, worthiness of it, that he's done something good. Because of which his self-esteem becomes stronger. As a result of which he will continue to be manifesting himself as good. Are you with me? That's why they say whenever anybody does something, you must appreciate them. And appreciate them in front of everybody. Praise in public, they say. P-I-P. Right? But when you do that, you have to master that art in such a way that praising one person should not create negativity on the others. Okay, you should inspire the others also to be like him, that's all. And same PIP says, punish in private. Praise in public, punish in private. Punish in private means, You take him aside, you explain to the person in such a way that it doesn't set a negative self-esteem, lower self-esteem in him. It's very important how you make a person feel. So when you do affirmations, the affirmations they say, that's why they always say it has to be subjective, positive and personal and with emotions. If emotions, because how you feel is exactly how you will be. That is why anybody who talks negative, do not associate this. So as your thoughts, so will be you and your world. So in that sense the affirmations are connected. Is that clear now? So that bhav matters a lot. That's why when you go deep inside your subconscious and put a thought, you believe that you are that and you will be like that. Once that self-belief has happened, you will be like deep inside. There are a lot of techniques that they follow to go inside and put that thought. Thereafter that person will behave that way.
Going away from our subject, what we were doing is again the thought part. Earlier we discussed, you know, that whatever you want in life, whatever you want to achieve in life, leave it as a thought and leave it to the universe. So this is, I'm not being able to put the all these together, because on one side we're talking of everything is Brahman and everything we are, it's in our mind, whatever the object is or subject is. But then
everything is essentially Brahman.
Yes.
But the world you experience is projected by your thoughts.
Yes.
Okay. But if you probe that deep inside, it is nothing but Brahman. But the world you are experiencing is projection of your thoughts. What do you mean? If you change your thoughts, the world changes. So instead of merely working on the outside, work on the inside, the world changes. That is the separate theory that we talked about before. So there is nothing contradictory between the two. But essentially if you go deep, both are Brahman only. You hear, he is only trying to say that the whole universe has evolved out of Brahman. Vibhuti is a manifested world. Underneath the manifested world is the avyakta prapancha, the maya shakti, yoga shakti. Underneath that is Brahman. Therefore, different dimensional worlds are possible. Excuse me, different dimensional worlds are possible. I am sitting and watching the play, what do you call that, puppet show with another person. Three of us are watching, three people are watching including me, let us say. One person is only seeing the puppets and the drama, his dimensional world stops there. Another person sees the thread. His dimensional world is slightly superior. Another person sees the fingers. His dimensional world is far superior. So different dimensions, all these dimensions are nothing but projection of mind. Beyond this is Brahman. Therefore, any experience, however superior or inferior it may be, you do not get involved. But you go to the Brahman, there the experiencer and the experience to merge. That is why when you do meditation, certain divine experiences, you may get different dimensional experiences. But the Guru cautions you and says, do not get involved there, continue. Because that is also nothing but the realm of the mind. Everything is realm of the mind. See, the mind of ant, the mind of elephant, and the mind of human being, seeing the same object differently. So the qualities are not inherent in the object. The qualities are projected by your mind. Take away the quality, the object doesn't exist. What remains is Brahman, consciousness. Are you getting it? Think about it. If you have any further questions, you can bring it up in the next class. So all that Vedanta says is, if I ask you to explain what this cup is, you will talk about the qualities of the cup. Same cup, somebody else talks, maybe missing few qualities. Because their mind is different. So the qualities are projected on Brahman, and there the object is created and perceived by the subject, mind. So take away the mind, there is no object. Are you with me? So if you go deeply, if you go deeply, everything has evolved from Brahman and Brahman alone. So verse number 6. Maharshaya Sapta Purve Chatvaro Manavastata Madbhava Manasa Jataha Hesham Lokai Ma Prajaha Maharshaya Sapta Purve Chatvaro Manavastata Madbhava मानसा जाता ये शाम लोकाई मा प्रजा. The seven great rishis, the ancient four, पूर्वे चत्वार, the four सनत कुमार, and the मनुष, the 14 मनुष. The Purana has all these mentioned. And in different places, different set of rishis are mentioned. One or two will be missing in this, one or two will be missing in that, but they keep talking about seven rishis. Right? See, in Sanskrit the word sapta is something like when you say, may you live 100 years. When you say may you live 100 years, do you mean to say 101 you die? You say, may you live 100 years means what?
Forever.
Exactly like that sapta. Sapta means everything in seven fold. There is not just seven, it is multiple worlds, dimensions. There is no limit to projection, na? Like kaleidoscopic pattern, is there a limit? You crush the bangles and glasses and everything and put them inside and make a kaleidoscope, right? Do this. And this is it, it keeps on changing. Different varieties are possible. And you mean, there is no end to this dimension. And you mean, it's a trick played by your mind. You get caught in that maya. So he says, the seven rishis, the forefathers, and Sanat Kumaras. Sanat Kumaras remained brahmacharis and became saints, sages, the sannyasis. They are not grahastha sannyasis. The seven rishis that he mentioned, Marichi, Pulaha, Angiras, Vasishtha, etc., they are all grahastha sannyasis, you can say. vanaprastha basically. They have their wives living with them. Right? So different set of sages and the 14 Manus. From Manu comes Manava. We get the name Manushya because we are descendants of Manus. The entire 14 Manus, the Rishis, all of them are projection of the mind is. And from them, the entire universe. So the entire universe, the Vibhuti has come from mind. Mind means, what is saying here, please listen carefully. The seven great sages, the ancient four and the Manus, with their being in me. They are essentially in me, Madbhava. And Manasa, from the mind they are projected. From them are these creatures, were born of mind, these creatures of the world. See, to explain this, bringing the example of vehicle, mind and dream world, you will be able to understand. In the dream, Madhushri goes to sleep. In the waking state, she is living and she goes to sleep. Madhushri goes to sleep. She projects in the dream. Nityashri. Just like the subject is called as Nityashri in the dream. And Nityashri is attending Vedanta class. In Vedanta class, Shweta, Lakshmi, Narayan, everybody is sitting. Shweta, Lakshmi, Narayan, Mamta, they are all objects. Nityashri is the subject in the dream. Okay. Nityashri had a father, mother. Nityashri, father, mother, had father, mother. Father, mother, father, mother, father, mother. And then you go on backwards. The entire universe, Nityashri and the objects that she experiences came from where? Came from where?
From
whose mind?
From Madhushri's mind.
Madhushri's mind. One Madhushri's mind projected Nityashri and the whole world. But if I will go and tell this to Nityashri, you will say, kya tamash kar raha hai?
What is this?
Just a few seconds before you were born, if I tell you, in the dream, you say, please, I am so many years old. I say, no, not only you, Baba. The entire universe was born just few minutes, few seconds ago. You say, now you become really mad. Till now I had doubts. And you said, I am only 3 seconds old. Now you are saying the entire universe is 3 seconds old. Now this Nityashri can never understand. When Nityashri becomes Madhushri, will she require explanation for this? Yes or no?
No.
Instantly Madhushri will answer. So Nityashri and the world is born of what?
Mind.
Of? Madhushri.
Vaker mind.
From the vaker mind, the entire universe has been projected. Are you with me? It is the... That's what he is saying. They have their being in me. Vaker mind is talking as it were now. Krishna is, in this example, vaker mind. Are you with me? Vaker mind is talking. What is he saying? The entire dream world, the seven great sages, the four Sanat Kumaras, and the 14 Manus, your Nityashree's great-grandfather, great-grandmother, the whole set of people, and Nityashree, and Nityashree's friends, enemies, the whole set of things and objects that surround Nityashree, they were born out of mind. Is that clear? They were born out of mind. From them all these creatures have come. The whole thing is in play of our mind. Without...
Ask a question.
What is that you are talking about?
It all comes from the vehicle's mind.
So vehicle's mind is talking as it were.
Yes.
What is it saying? It says... Shweta
it has created so many mind, this Shweta Mantra.
When Shweta wakes up, Nityashree wakes up. Mamta, Shweta attending Vedanta class?
Nobody is there.
Is the Vedanta class going on?
No.
Sachin?
But that is also dream world.
Exactly. Hey, where is Vekar mind also? If you can understand that your mind can project a world and it could keep you there, and you could go through the joy and sorrow.
Okay.
Same thing is happening now also. You cannot understand as Madhushree. You can only understand this when you wake up. From this waking world. In the Mandukya Upanishad, generally we say there are three states of consciousness, no? Waking, dream and deep sleep. Jagrat, waking state. Dream, Swapna. Sushupti, deep sleep. In Mandukya Upanishad, he only talks about Swapna and Sushupti. He doesn't talk about Jagrat at all. Because he says, Jagrat is also another kind of Swapna. When you are in the Swapna, Nityashree doesn't know it is Swapna. Nityashree says this whole thing is real. These people have implanted me. It's real. For so many days I did not sleep. It's very real. What do you mean it come out of mind? Please, relax. Nityashree will tell. Are you with me? The entire relationship with Manta, Shweta, Vedanta class, everything is real, the thing is all fiction, come out of mind. Nityashree can never understand this. But when Nityashree wakes up, that she can. And that frightening dream has to, that frightening thing has to happen in the dream for you to wake up. Some lion has to pounce on you in the dream. If some lion pounces on Nityashree, Nityashree wakes up and suddenly she is that lion pouncing on you is Vedanta. Swapna Simha Vat, like a lion in the dream. Vedanta also part of the dream. Vedanta doesn't say no. But it is like a lion in the dream. When the lion appears in the dream, it wakes you up. It's also part of the dream only. But it has the ability to wake you up. So, Vekar's mind is talking that the entire dream world, the dream subject of the dream world has come out of me, from my mind. Understand? From me only. So the external and the internal world both has evolved out of Brahma. Etam vibhutim yogam cha, etam vibhutim yogam cha, mama yo vedi tatvatah, mama yo vedi tatvatah, so vikampena yogena, So vikampena yogena yujyate natra samshayah yujyate natra samshayah yetam vibhutim yogam cha mahayo veti tatvatah So vikampena yogena yujyate natra samshayah He who knows the reality, the supreme manifestation of my yoga, vibhuti and my yoga, the maya, yoga shakti, he becomes established in unshakable union. How the snake vibhuti has come from non-apprehension of the rope yoga. He who understands that, he gets established in unshakable union with
Brahma.
Follow the example. He who knows the vibhuti snake and he who knows the yoga, the non-apprehension of the rope, He is unshakably united with rope. Same thing you compare it with Brahman. The vibhuti is what? Vyakta prapancha, as if manifested world. What is the manifested thing in the example of snake? That is vibhuti. Snake is a vibhuti. Right. Where did it come from?
From the mind. From the mind is projected on this.
Non-apprehension of the rope.
Not
understanding the rope caused the misunderstanding of snake. Where is the not understanding of the rope existing as potential? In the rope. If Mamta was not there, can I misunderstand Mamta? The existence, the potential of not understanding Mamta as Mamta exists in Mamta. Are you with me? So when I see this, I am established firmly in reality. That becomes my conviction. He says, he who knows in reality the supreme manifestation of the world and my yoga union, the maya shakti, non-apprehension, he becomes established in unshakable union with the self. There is no doubt about that. Na atra samshayaha. Let there be no doubt. So that is why he says you have to watch carefully. Don't take things for granted.
If you really know, there will be no doubt.
When you start watching it carefully, you will start seeing the unreality of it and you will start seeing the reality hiding behind it.
Why do you call the manifested world vibhuti?
Vibhuti is the Sanskrit word which is the glory that has come out of Brahma.
Vibhuti is the ash, no?
That's a different
Achha, okay, different concept.
Vibhuti also
simple as is the...
Yeah.
Okay. This is the manifested
world.
Who is the earth?
Yeah.
Something has come out
to
the
earth.
The whole thing has come out of Brahma.
But Vibhuti is the manifested world which has come out of Brahma.
Yes.
As in.
Yes. But in between Brahma and world there is something. What is that?
Non-apprehension.
So in other words, why this is mentioned you should understand. When you go to South Indian Mandir, in Tirupati and all, you must have gone to Tirupati Balaji, no? They call as Moolavar and Munchavar. Moolavar is the God in Sanctum Sanctorum. The same God they have made the same God in brass or some other metals put together, which is kept outside.
Who is called as Urchava?
Urchava.
Okay. The Urchava is taken out. Everybody sees, they do aarti and everybody is going outside.
Even when outside the God is going around, as it were, inside Moolavar is the God there or not?
Yeah.
Exactly like that. Even when you have projected Nitya Shri and the world, Madhusri is there or not? Madhusri has never become anything less.
It's not taken away from
you. You understand? Madhusri has never become any less. It is the yoga.
When the world is projected out of Brahman, Brahman is existing without anything, nothing is going on. Outside the whole tamasha is going on, Brahman is existing. Calm, composed, serene. You understand? Are you with me? The whole turbulence, the whole thing is at the surface. It just comes out of that. So you have to cross the illusion and go inside. And the problem is, even if you have crossed the illusion and go inside and come out and explain to the other people who are lost in illusion, as it were, then still they cross the illusion, they develop. It's exactly like the three-dimensional paintings that you see. Have you seen them?
You don't see it.
Some blurred picture is there. What is it here? There is wow. Everybody saying wow. What is wow about? There is no wow here. You get, the more they say wow, more agitated you become.
And the more agitated you become, why is that I am not seeing? Are they, you know, pulling it off? Or really something there that I am missing? Strain, struggle, you don't see it.
You said, forget, there is nothing there, there is relax, suddenly you see it. And the moment you see it, it's a totally different feeling. Wow, there is an aquarium there. There is a cricket ground here. There is a baseball ground. There is a whole school with children playing up. I have not seen it. I missed it. And why the Gita says, Ya Pashyati Sa Pashyati. Whoever sees this, sees it. I do not know how to tell you this. And it is why they say you require Shraddha. Shraddha Vaan Labhate Jnana. Because if you have Shraddha, then only you start doing Samana. Lord Krishna is going to say now. Next. Because without sadhana you can never see it. By doing sadhana you purify the senses, the mind. Once the mind is purified, self from within reflects. In the buddhi. Okay? So he says, he who knows in reality the supreme manifestation and my yoga, he becomes established in unshakable union.
Unshakable union in the sense, now little bit you study and then you say,
oh my God, necessarily I was talking and fuming about nothing. Somebody called me donkey, it's okay. Now you understand that. But is it unshakable union? You go from the class, you go home, you get a phone call. You are a monkey, they are saying in the phone. Blood pressure increases again. Because it is not yet unshakable union. It is only there at the intellectual level. It needs to go deep inside and come at the experiential level. But coming at the intellectual level itself is doing something. If you do sadhana and make it go into experiential level, then it becomes unshakable union. Thereafter, your union with the self is unshakable. Nobody can take away the identification with Madhushri as well as your person. Any number of people may come and say anything they want. Your union, Nityashri, is united with Madhushri. And that union is unshakable union. Nityashri may be in depth and suffering. And Madhushri maybe has given money to so many people. And she has much more to survive. So now that Nityashri is, given money to so many people, they are not returned and suffering. How is it going on with Nityashri? I have no money now. Madhushri has no issue. Unshakable union. So that unshakable union you approach. Till you achieve that unshakable union, sadhana has to continue. Next verse. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha, aham sarvasya prabhavaha, mattasarvam pravartate, mattasarvam pravartate, iti matva vajante maham, iti matva vajante maham, buddha-bhava samanvitaha, aham sarvasya prabhavaha, mattasarvam pravartate, iti matva vajante maham, buddha-bhava I am the origin of all. Aham sarvasya prabhava. Everything has come out of me. From me everything evolves. Mattat sarvam pravartate. When he says I am the origin of all, I am not the origin of all in the sense that I am the cause, like seed, say, tree has come. To clarify that, he immediately says, mattat sarvam pravartate. Like how the entire dream world has come from Vekar's mind. Like that, everything has evolved out of me. Even when the world is evolved out of me, I have not become any less. Understanding that, understanding this very clearly, what does the wise people do? They worship me. Worshipping means identification. Even through their experiences in the world, they identify with the Brahman. Maintaining of that awareness is worship. You may be sitting in mandir, but your identification with me will probably be on money. And you are not really worshipping Brahman, worshipping God. You are worshipping money. Isn't it? Worship means your mind should be identified with it. So like a child, Swami Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gives this example. Like a child which holds on to a pillar, a small wooden pillar, and swings herself around. Have you seen children play? They hold on to her with one hand around a wooden pillar and swing around. Have you seen that? Like that, he swings around in this universe, the white person, he or she swings around in this universe, but deeply rooted in the awareness of Brahman. Such a person is completely endowed with devotion, total awareness. Devotion is nothing but awareness. As a result of which, he will be functioning in this universe in total gratitude, with zero ego. Ego and devotion are opposite to each other. As ego reduces, devotion increases. Isn't it? So the more and more you start appreciating the hand of divinity, the hand of Brahman, What happens to the ego? Goes on dissolving. He is endowed with devotion. Then his actions will emanate out of gratitude, not out of begging spirit. Today all our actions are emanating out of begging spirit. I go to work, my work is a means to achieve something. I'm begging. Through my work, I want to achieve this. I want to achieve that. This I should get, that I should get. King goes to his court, not in begging spirit, in kingly spirit. So he is adorned with devotion means he thereafter functions in the kingly spirit. Out of gratitude and fullness he functions in the world. Thereafter his existence, his whole being, bhava-sanandita, is endowed with devotion, gratitude, fullness. Is full. Actions will be overflowing. Not expecting anything. Action for the sake of action. That is all he is saying. I am the origin of all. Everything from me, everything evolves. Understanding does. That understanding will come only when you do sadhana and reflection. Till you do that, it will not come. And you got to protect that understanding, keeping good company. I said this many times. Even if the lady has become pregnant, she doesn't announce it to the world till the pregnancy is established. Similarly, when you are impregnated by the Guru, Shastra Dwara, through the scriptures, the pregnancy has to be established. Like the woman takes protective care. You as a sadhak require a lot of protection. You must maintain satsang. But if you just keep on attending classes but you do not put in that other effort of keeping satsang at all levels, your pregnancy will not get established. You will not be in unshakable union. You have already been impregnated with wrong beliefs, as if this world is real. Madhusri is real. The whole thing is real. The wrong needs to be removed and the right needs to be established. For that, first you need to be convinced that the wrong is established in you. That is why Vedantic study is not for anybody and everybody actually. Going and giving this kind of weekly classes itself is, you strictly see, is against the tradition. You have to be firstly fully in the world. Be clear about the futility of the world. Or even when you get that doubt, hey, look, it doesn't seem to be really worthy chasing all this. When you get the doubt, then you will search for the books. Therefore, they said, Brahmacharya Gabar, Grahastha. Go all out in the world. Understand the limitation of the world. When the ego becomes fructified, it separates. Like a raw banana doesn't detach. When it ripens, it detaches. So the ego which is full of desires needs to be given activity. Achieve the success. Get that name, get that fame. Taste it. And see how flimsy they are. Huh? Right? Our ex-Prime Minister Manmohan Singh once famously said, no? Came in the newspaper and television channels and everything. He called his own ex-office PMO and that coal scam thing came about. For something he wanted, he called. The guys who worked under him, one of the guys, he never picked up his phone, never returned the call. Like that, so many instances could have happened in many people's lives. When you see it all, you will see the passing, fleeting, transitory nature of that position, of that fame, name, power, money. And to the extent you see that, to that extent only, the real earnest interest within you is born to know the truth. Therefore, just do not call anybody and everybody and start giving lecture on the Vedanta. But the basis is, really, let them be in the heat of things. Go and see Himalayas. Some of the guys who are really, really top guys, they won't tell you unless and until you, through some other way, you find out. They are roaming around there trying to find the truth. Some of them are really top achievers. And other people are saying, gone mad or something. Cannot follow this. By imitating him and you give up things, nothing will happen to you. You will then become more frustrated. He must see the hollowness of the world, the emptiness of the world. When you see the emptiness of the whole thing, then the real Gita begins. Arjuna starts seeing the emptiness of the whole thing, slowly, slowly his seeing of emptiness becomes better and better. That is why Krishna is talking about these things, because he is becoming more of a deeper Shishya. You must travel along with Arjuna as you study Gita. Then you will see this makes a lot of difference. So he says, endowed with the devotion, thereafter, with absolute surrender, they continue. Thereafter there is no demanding, there is only commanding. They go to give, not to take. They just cannot take. A person who is full, that is why, in our tradition, we invite people and give them food. Especially in wedding and all that. The amount of food that is served, that fellow becomes absolutely full. There are people who say, Baba, no more, no, no, thank you, thank you, no, 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 no. He is very happy. Which means, in a happy state of mind, and collectively they bless, the blessing has an effect. That's the idea. Because it is coming from the depth, not from the surface. You hear me? Coming from that, but he is genuinely full. Oh, please, no. He wants to give if possible. Isn't it? That kind of fullness he will be filled with when he gets his understanding. That thereafter, how will he function? With absolute total awareness. He clearly sees Shweta is a... Shweta will see that. and the small speck which has come from Brahma. Simply play the role with awareness and care. So you have to establish it. So if you really want to get the benefit of what Krishna is saying, you have to do sadhana. And sadhana is the same. He says that try to get up literally and then study yoga, pranayama, walking, study in these are of course reflection, and then disciplined life to whatever extent you can, shama, dhamma and all that, and then karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga is already covered, getting up and study, reflect, and keep to good company. Keep to good company, because they can come and destroy your business. Till you establish, do not try to go and have discussion with somebody to prove that Siddhanta is saying this and you people do not know now that. So they may confuse you. You need protection.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.